coming.
Good.
Yay. I'm the airline cultural reader, bulimic.
Hi.
And this is Colleen.
Hi.
And Susan.
Hi.
And they are going to be leading the body image workshop today. Very happy to have them here. Everybody just turn off your phone. Is that good? Gretchen's right in the back, and there is a $5 parking validation, which we'll deal with at the end, so just, if you need to leave before I just see me, and we'll work that out. But otherwise, thank you for coming. There's extra pencils in the back, and 12 and 12, and big books. But just please return them, because I got to get back to you. All right, morning everybody. Colleen, cultural reader.
Hi, Colleen.
And like Carolyn said, thank you very much for coming. I'm just going to go ahead and have a start with the serenity prayer. So those of you who would like to join me. God,
grant me to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
Basically, what we're going to be doing today is Susan and I are both going to be sharing our story, and then we're going to be dealing with this issue of body image and work steps 4 through 9 on it. So there'll be, you know, like I said, we'll be sharing, and then you guys can have an opportunity to do some writing and some sharing in small groups, and then we'll open it up if anybody wants to share with the whole group, you know. But you're going to be doing stuff. You're not just going to sit there and, like, absorb information. So we'll kind of take you through that. And then, so we'll go probably right up until about 1 o'clock. And I appreciate all of you being here. I know early on a Saturday. It's like, oh, what do you want me to do? My story, just to qualify, I've been in program 5 years, 4.5 months. My absence date is August 4th of 2002. My top weight when I came into the gym was 307 pounds. And thankfully, I don't weigh anywhere near that today. I do have actually some pictures that I'll go ahead and pass around that I carry around with me. I don't believe that you can't get that I used to be over 3.5 pounds, so I have to carry these pictures with me because people won't believe me when I tell them. And the other thing that I do, too, is I keep a pair of my pants that I was barely fitting into when I first came into the program. These are my size 24 jeans. They were not fitting. In fact, I remember sitting in an OA workshop, like, holding my breath because they were so tight. And that was actually after a year of abstinence. So, but I keep them as a reminder to me if I'm ever too tired to work my program, they're waiting for me. So they're also, you know, they wore out here. And to me, that's really significant because being someone who was always overweight all my life, I never knew that pants didn't wear out in the middle. Because that was the only thing I knew. Anyways, these are always nice and handy for me. Because I said I'm too hard to do my stuff. When I came into these rooms, I did not come in to lose weight. I came in because I was really uncomfortable in my body. And because of the suggestion of a therapist I was seeing, she thought maybe I would like the sort of camaraderie or whatever that people like knew about that stuff. And not being somebody who grew up in a family of compulsive overeaters or who had binge buddies or anything like that, it was a completely different experience for me, the way you guys talked about food, the things you said. And I was just kind of like blown away. And it made it a very safe place. Because you guys understood things about me that I didn't think anybody understood. And that was really comforting for me. So I got a sponsor and started working the steps and really just sort of stayed there for a while. And after about 6 months, I stopped eating like blatant sugar and things like that. I lost about 25 pounds. But when you weigh over 300 pounds, you lose 25 pounds. It doesn't really make much of a dent. So I wasn't like getting attention from people or anything like that. Barely anyone really noticed. And it was actually after, but what I found was that my mind was much calmer when I stopped doing that. And so then I also ended up facing a lot of stuff, a lot of childhood stuff came up for me because I think I was using the sugar to keep that down. And so I had to kind of like, you know, get my footing, so to speak. And after about 3 or 4 months of that, or just after celebrating a year of abstinence, I was still abstinent. I was still having my abstinence, 3 meals a day, nothing in between, 2 snacks if necessary, a snack for maybe a piece of fruit or 2 handfuls of fruit. So that hasn't changed. What I've eaten in those meals has changed a lot. But essentially in the beginning was 3 binges a day, you know, and that's what it had to be. I wasn't willing yet to really let go of any of the food because that was my comfort, that was my safety. You know, I hear a lot of people in OA talk about, like, things would happen and they gain so much weight. That's not my experience. In order to exist in the world, I needed to be pounding down lots and lots of food. Really. You know, it's like I'm totally a drug addict when it comes to food. Like, it was like, hook me up. I need to be hooked up as long as possible to be as unconscious as possible because it was that unbearable. And it was so unbearable that I didn't even understand how unbearable it was. It was just, I was in this constant state of, like, drugs. Really. So after about a year or so of abstinence, I finally just kind of hit a wall and was like, all right, I'm done. You know, and there was a woman talking in the meeting and she was talking about the doctor's opinion and the only relief we have to suggest is entire abstinence. And I remember just sitting there going, okay, so what am I doing? You know, like, I'm carrying all this extra weight around because I was still easily like 130 pounds heavier than I am now. And I was like, it's not protecting me from what I think it's protecting me from. It's not working the way that it used to. And you know what? I'm done. I'm just done. And so at that point, I got another sponsor and amped up my program. And she said, what do you want? I said, I want the weight off. And she said, okay. And she said, you need to do this and this and this and this and all these things. And I said, okay. I was just so done that I was just willing to do whatever she asked me to do. And so from that point over the next 16, 18 months is when I lost the other 130 pounds. You know, I would have weeks that I would go up and weeks that I would go down. But for the most part, it was pretty much a straight shot. A lot of the work for me or recovery has been, though, once I reached that healthy body weight, because you know what, then I couldn't mess around with stuff anymore, you know, because I have this, like, gate or whatever range that I have to stay in. So whenever I go outside of it, whether below it or above it, I know that I'm messing around with stuff. I have to live life on life's terms. It's not no longer about, like, am I losing weight or am I gaining, you know. It's about, okay, so what's going on in my life, you know. And for me, that's just, for whatever reason, how it's decided to play out. In terms of my relationship with my body, well, obviously I was not very in touch with my body. In a lot of ways, my body was very much sort of an enemy. I felt betrayed by it in a lot of ways. A lot of anger. The things that I would do to myself, I mean, when I would think about, I had a lot of different, like, aches and pains and things like that, and I remember as a kid always having, like, stomach aches and headaches, and there was always all kinds of physical pain, and again, like, I didn't even think about it until recently. I was realizing that, like, it's amazing. I had taken some Advil or whatever, and I thought, God, I remember I used to pop this stuff, like, every day, you know, maybe a couple times a day, because there was always something off. And there was never this thing of like, maybe something's going on. It was like, oh, it hurts, you know. But that was just, you know, I just sort of accepted that as reality. As though my body was not attached to me. You know, I really feel like in a lot of ways I sort of dragged it around with me. And again, it was very much an adversary. I mean, I was, you know, how could it not be an adversary? It was the one thing that kept me from having or being whatever it was I wanted to be, you know? I mean, not only would people say things like, you have such a pretty face, if only, blah, 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 you know? But it was also this thing of, like, I remember when I was about 10 years old, and I went to go to gymnastics or whatever, and, you know, one of the first things that the coach said was, well, you know, you really need to lose about 30 pounds or something like that. I mean, I was 10 years old. My mother took me to Weight Watchers for the first time when I was 10 years old. Man, did I hate that. And I was in this room with all these old people, they were probably like in their 20s, but, you know, like, they were old. I was 10, you know, I was like, there's no other kids here, you know, and I resented that, like, when my friends were eating pizza and ice cream, I was supposed to be eating cottage cheese and carrots or something, and I was like, oh, yuck, I don't even like cottage cheese. So, you know, it's like, and not to mention the whole thing, like, I remember looking, because at that time at Weight Watchers, they would have, like, this specific food plan that you had to follow. And I remember thinking, I don't want to eat that stuff, you know? And, like, I just couldn't end the whole thing about going behind the wall where the scale was. And it was, like, this thing. And I think I maybe lasted 3 weeks before I was just, like, whatever, you know? And then, of course, that was another thing I could do to really piss my mother off, which I had a fun time doing. So, but, you know, again, you can't take away my oxygen. You know, like, it just doesn't work for me unless something gets put in its place. And so, you know, from early on, I just remember, like, I remember looking at a picture of myself when I was in second grade, and I loved that school picture, and I loved that pretty girl. And I remember always thinking, I wish I was her. Where did she go? You know? Because I don't remember from the age of like 9 on ever looking in the mirror and thinking I liked what I saw, you know. And it's interesting, so of course I didn't want to do gymnastics because I was going to have to lose 30 pounds. I mean, I went to classes and stuff, but I just didn't, you know, it was like, and then I lost interest, you know. And I got into playing soccer. And there's a certain benefit in being one of the bigger girls, you know, because I got to be halfback and run up and down the field and all this stuff. And that's amazing to me because I hate running. But, you know, I was one of the tough girls, so I, you know, that was kind of cool. That was very much sort of the persona that I took on, you know, that I was this big, tough girl. You know, I was never meant to really be pretty or things like that. And when I was in junior high, I started taking a dance class, and I really liked that. And it was at a public, like, Parks and Rec place. So there was none of this, like, well, you know, you really need to lose weight, or it wasn't at a studio where they had all these regulations. And so I started pursuing that, that brought me a great deal of freedom. Dancing has always been something that's very close to my heart. And so then I went on to dance in a studio, and again, for whatever reason, they didn't say anything like, you know, you really shouldn't be here, although I'm sure some of them wondered why I was there. A lot of my dancing was this, I was going to prove to you, because even when people would compliment me on my dancing, I never knew if it was because they actually thought that I was a good dancer or because they weren't expecting me to be because I was heavier, you know. But I never quite felt part of, you know, because the other girls or whatever were these cute little petite things who had all their makeup and their hairspray and all this stuff. And in a lot of ways, I danced to survive. It was the only outlet that I had. And but even there, I would push my body. I had this condition in my lower legs that where my muscles would cramp up really badly. But I loved dancing so much that I would dance even though I was in a lot of pain. And just the things that I would do to my body just to be like, whatever, I'm just going to push through, you know. Like, I didn't know what it was like today. One of the things that I do for myself is the minute I start to feel too tired or sick or something, I stop and I pull back. That is so not what I learned how to do. That I learned from my sponsor. And it is so uncomfortable. Like, I before had to wait till I was dying and hawking up a lung before, because then you could say, oh, you're really sick. And then it would be okay for me to take care of myself. I always had to wait for somebody else to validate what was happening for me. But I would do things like, I remember there was one point when I lost about 30 pounds in high school and I hit a plateau, not knowing what that was. So then I started exercising. And again, with my leg muscles, they would cramp up. But I would walk for like 5 miles. After about a mile and a half, my legs would go numb. But I would keep, you know, like, that's insanity. The ways that I would push and hurt my body are just, again, it was sort of like this thing that wasn't really a part of me. It was the one thing that kept me from doing and being what I wanted to do, you know. It was like, everybody would like me if I just wasn't fat. And so obviously that's, you know, my body's fault. Like, I never saw a connection between what I was putting in my mouth and what was happening. So I never did. I mean, like, years, you know, as I'd get bigger and bigger, I'd be like, ooh, where did that come from? Like, literally, like, All of a sudden now my stomach is, like, I did not, you know, like, and I'm an intelligent woman, I just never made the connection, like, because I couldn't. Because if food is my oxygen, if food is what allows me to get through, I can't. You know, I could look at the food as a bad thing, so instead I opted to just look at my body as the enemy. And one of the things that I found is, today I have to be really nice to my body. And the other thing is that I found that my body is really just trying to tell me things, you know? And that when something happens where I'm in pain, it's not like, oh, great, what I do now? Because that's really where my head goes. It's like, oh, well, I messed up again, you know? And so now I'm being punished. I'm not going to get to do this or, you know, be there or experience this or whatever it is. Instead, I've started to look at, okay, so what's going on? It's like, you know, because if whatever else didn't get my attention, then it shows up on my body, you know? And, so I'm slowly learning to appreciate that and recognize those signals as being like, oh, okay. Because what I truly believe is that we carry a lot of our thoughts and our emotions in our body. And I also believe that very much that sometimes things are too much for us to mentally handle, and so it goes into the body because it's just too much. And so, you know, I think there's very much a connection between, like, physical ailments and emotional things and mental thinking and all that stuff. And so what I've learned today is to pay attention to that. I actually had an experience yesterday. I was sitting at work and I had these, like, massive, like, abdominal cramps. And it wasn't that time of the month. And I thought, oh, okay, what's going on? You know? And, like, literally, like, debilitating. Like, I remember being like, okay, I just need to get to the car so I can get home. You know? I was like, just get to the car and get home. Like, you know? And what I did was I went home and I crawled into bed and I laid down and I put my hands there and I felt this tremendous heat. And when I was at work, I had sat down and did a little writing, like, okay, I'm, you know, because usually, like, fear comes up for me. So I'm like, okay, what am I fearing? So I'm writing down all these things that I'm fearing. And I hit on this thing of, I got an email from my mother, and when she said something, and it occurred to me that, like, she doesn't really hear me. That's kind of the story of my life with her. And, but after all this time, she still doesn't hear me. And there's this little kid inside of me who's just pissed. You know, I used to throw temper tantrums as a kid. I used to do all these things to try and get her attention, and it never worked. And when I was writing, and I wrote that, like, that this fear, because this fear in my head that, like, because she won't hear me, that means nobody's going to hear me, which is what I used to do to convince myself that it didn't really matter what I had to say, because nobody was going to hear me anyways. And so part of my eating too was that it kept me really quiet. And so what I found is what I did was I placed my hands there and was like, okay, so, and I just bawled. And I screamed and I cried and I tried to comfort that little girl and just was like, fucking whatever, sorry, I'm just being recorded. You know, how dare you not hear me? Why can't you, you know, just sort of let all that emotion out, and once you know it, the pain went away. You know? And then I went to go and get my dinner and stuff like that, and I could feel it building up again, so I went back home and I did the same thing. And again, it left. I don't understand how all that works, but I know that it does. And so what I find today, is there somebody timing any of this?
Yeah.
Or, oh, thank you very much. I'm like, I have no sense. I'm like way out there. What I found today is that I can no longer afford to treat my body as an enemy or drag it around. I have to be present in it. And being present in my body means feeling things, good and bad. And for somebody who spent their entire life not being present in their own body, it's a little bit alarming at first to kind of do that because, oh my God, everything hurts. but I cannot push through because the food allowed me to do that in so many areas of my life and especially with my body, to just push and push and push and push. And I owe my body a lot more than that. I owe it a lot more respect. I always think that there's this woman who leads this yoga class at this club that I went to last summer. Whenever we bend over, she'd be like, and we always respect the lower back, you know? It's like, well, I love how she said it, you know? And so for me, it's like I have to, you know, in some ways it's about, as part of my recovery, I have to pay attention when my body's telling me things. I can't ignore it anymore. And I don't need to look at it as a bad thing or as a signal that something's wrong with me or I can't, you know, and it's not about blaming my body or whatever. Because my body doesn't do things just to piss me off, although I think I always thought of it that way. Or it is not the thing. It's just a manifestation, you know. And so the benefit of that, and I'll just wrap with this, is that by paying attention to my body and treating my body lovingly, I get to see it really differently. You know, today when I look in the mirror, I like what I see, you know. Today, it's a privilege with all the scars and all the stuff that I've done to be able to live and move and breathe in this body. It really is a tremendous gift. And especially considering all the things I've done to it over the years, I'm just really, really grateful for that. So thank you very much. Okay. What we're going to be doing, as I said, you guys are going to be doing different activities. So the first part is there's two different writing activities. So the first one has to do with a little bit of like history on your body image. So I'm going to give you the sheet which has some prompts on it. And it's just to take some time. You're going to have about 10 minutes to do like what I call a body image history. So as far back as you can remember, and then on here, you don't have to write on each thing, but these are some things that kind of get you thinking about sort of what your relationship with your body is going to be. Yeah.